Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View for this pre-recorded interview for Monday evening, January 16th, 2012. In fact, I think there was an Ayn Rand book or play, I think it was the night of January 16th, where the audience decided, it was a trial, and the audience decided what the verdict would be. So anyway, I'm your humble host, PK. And tonight I'm going to have a friend back on, a friend John. I think one of his friends is going to join us, his friend that was on a couple weeks ago. We're going to talk about geopolitics, war with Iran. So we're going to move into that. And again, I'd like to thank bbsradio.com for promoting free speech and free thought. Thank goodness for alternative news media and the internet, because this show, my show, is not under the domination of the corporate Zionist pro-Israel contingent, which you get from all the other major news works, be they right or left, because they're all part of the same opinion cartel. They're either gatekeepers for the left or the right, and they retire with their handsome salaries and their books they write and their benefits and this and that, their pensions or whatever, for serving the regime. The Illuminati, the globalists. Of course, they're in denial about all that. But these big people are just puppets, like Romney and Obama. But Ron Paul is not a puppet, and he speaks his mind. He speaks truth against power, and that's what we're going to do more of that today. My friend John, who's coming on. In fact, he's waiting. My friend John's been on here before. Born in Eastern Europe, and I think lived in the U.S. about the last 20 years. So he has a nice, unique perspective on global politics, the wars, the military-industrial complex, and we're going to discuss that. Hopefully one of his friends is going to join us. So with that, I'm going to say, John, are you out there, my friend?
I'm right here, yep.
Welcome back to Third Stream View. Would you care for some tea and coffee?
Yes, the tea and coffee, all imported.
Sorry,
it's
self-service. It's self-service here, sorry.
Okay.
But thank you for coming back on. It's been a while, and we enjoyed your insights last time. And today, like I had mentioned, we want to cut right to the chase and talk about the wars and geopolitics in Iran and oil and what's happening to the country and to the economy. So I'm going to let you put the ball in your court. You go ahead and lead the conversation. What would you like to talk about?
Well, you just mentioned several good topics. War, you know, like to really understand politics and everything, you have to go back to for a very long time historically. I would say to the result of World War II and even before.
Definitely, because, World War One.
You know, yeah, definitely, yes, and slightly even before, because everything that is happening these days has a direct connection to historically what was there, and nothing really changed ever since, really. It's just, you know, going for the same people that basically dictate the outcome of the whole history that we, you know, create.
How come you know that, John, and most Americans don't know that?
Well, they don't study. Everybody's busy working and trying to pay the mortgage and bills and everything.
Would that be their upside down mortgage?
Well, not only that, you know. And another thing is that people are happy just to watch football and things, not really engaging in politics. But that starts to change. Remember what happened last year in the Arabic countries, all these uprisings took place. They were triggered by a new technology, by internet, by cell phone wireless communication, exchanging messages, twittering, and stuff like that. So that is starting to gain momentum here in our country, finally, for the first time probably ever. People are starting to be more and more aware of where is it coming from. Why we pay almost 4 $4 per gallon of gas at the gas pump, where it should be about $1.30, $1.40 at the most.
Right.
You know.
Well,
you remember, part of that. You remember when the crisis started? Go back to 2008. Year 2008. In the summer, gas was over $4 per gallon already at the gas.
I remember.
Yeah. And what happened then? Suddenly, when Obama bailed out the banks and the Bush and oil crashed into the $30 per gallon, per barrel, when the U.S. economy was bailed out by President Bush and Obama, you know. So, and the gas at the pump was all of a sudden in 130s, like overnight almost. So you see what kind of price gains they play with the whole entire economy here, and that goes actually worldwide.
Could you tell me, please, what the difference is between Bush and Obama, besides the spelling of their names?
Well, you said it nicely in maybe you say.
Would you like to hear my – well, I can define Obama. Let me give you my definition again. Because you know I'm fond of quoting myself.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed to see some humor in that, by the way.
Yes, quote yourself.
Okay, thank you very much. Obama is Bush 3 with a makeover on steroids.
I love that.
Just like Bush, Obama serves the big banks, Wall Street, the military-industrial congressional complex, and the Israeli lobby. Obama may just as well be a mixed-race, blue-blood, skull-and-bones member, very willing to play ball with the New World Order. Meanwhile, Obama remains a smooth-talking lawyer who is clueless about economics, economic history, and political economy. Thank you very much.
Yep, well, but, you know, I always say what we vote for, we have.
Well, I didn't vote for him, but you got to admit, John, I'm pretty smart. John, I'm pretty smart for an American, aren't I?
Yeah.
And like I like to say, because I think it's funny, but it's true, John, I'm an American who actually knows world geography and world history. Not all of it, but a strong concept of it.
Okay, yeah.
And I treasure the fact that I've spent a lot of time outside of the USA, having interesting discussions with people from Europe, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Southern Europe, Scandinavia, Africa, South America, some Asian countries. You get such a perspective when you step back and look at things. Not that I didn't feel this way a lot before, but I'm sympathetic to the rest of the world and people's feelings. And it's very interesting, the conversations I've had, when you step out and look back, which is the reason I like to say that the rest of the I'm an American who actually knows that the rest of the world knows more about America than America knows about the world. And someone added to that and said, the rest of the world knows more about America than America knows about America.
Yes, that's true, but that's very convenient, actually, for the ruling class here, you know.
Well, they want to keep the sheeple in line.
Yeah, it's better that way. Speaking of, honestly, everything, the whole entire prosperity of ours or lack of it is directly connected to the energy. Energy prices, they basically affect the whole entire life. They affect other prices. How much money you spend at the pump will have the direct impact on every family because they will spend less going out, buying merchandise, and so on and so forth. Because gas and the energy bill for home costs so much that people just don't have enough means to do other things. you know.
Interesting you mentioned that, John, because I myself in my home, I can't afford, I live in a southern state, and when it gets cold, it's cold enough where I need the heat, but I don't use the heat because it's so expensive. It's more expensive than AC. So what I did is I bought one of those space heaters that looks like the kind they have in Europe on the radiator type. It's an oil-filled space heater, and I put that in my bedroom. And, you know, the rest of the house is warm enough where none of the pipes will freeze, but it keeps the bedroom warm enough, and I'm saving a lot on my electric bill.
Yeah, well, but, you know, you have to remember that we have technologies. We have actually hundreds of suppressed technologies, and we have done everything possible to kill mass transit in the U.S. and have worked day and night to make it impossible for Americans to survive. Did you know that? By the super fast trains, for example, system, sits in the Federal Reserve Bank, Richmond, Virginia. Over $1 trillion of private funds held up for years. This is roughly equivalent about 400,000 jobs. And the project like that would end much of America's unemployment and make national travel at over 300 miles per hour dirt cheap and totally clean.
Well, I don't know if I totally agree with you on mass transit, because it runs in this country, as I understand it, most of it runs at a loss. Governments promote it, and they're allied industries and construction or whatnot. But as I understand it, you know, it runs at a loss. Why can't it run at a profit without having to be bailed out? Like Amtrak is a failure.
Because it's designed to be a failure. It's designed that way. It's completely managed completely wrongly from the start.
Mismanaged.
The European trains. This is like a basic of the transportation there. And still, Europe still has an incredible crisis now. But you know how much they pay gas?
Well, most of it's taxed. It's a lot.
Yeah.
But Europe also, the countries are smaller and the destinations are not as, you know, the trains work better for Europe. Although I don't even know if the trains make a profit in Europe. And as you know, the euro is collapsing. Europe is collapsing in a way because they can't afford their welfare states, their generous, lavish welfare states. And this is the rise of China and other competitive countries coming along.
Yes.
Exactly. So if you, John, if you had the power or the ability, how would you, do you have any ideas how you would fix things or energy prices? What would you implement?
I don't know. You know, it's hard to say. We are against the powerful lobby of, you know, people that basically dictate those prices and those things. You know.
Well, yeah, I see that. What I would advocate a free market in energy and no barriers to market entry. And if somebody invents alternative technology, they're not shut down by the regulatory agencies. They're free to produce and create, and they're not threatened.
Yes.
And, John, absolutely no persecution of alternative energy innovators and investors and entrepreneurs. And, by the way, no persecution of alternative medicine. And the vitamin industry and alternative medicine technology. No persecution of these people and their industries.
Well, yes, you're absolutely right.
I usually am.
Yeah, new technologies, they are there. We have hundreds of suppressed technologies, as I told you.
Is part of that reason because they're bought out by the big companies?
Yeah, basically. Now with Iraq, war being over, we pulled our troops back to the country, so everybody is happy. Everybody except for certain folks that are very unhappy. So right now we have to create some kind of new war theater of other countries, which would be maybe Iran. That's that kind of convenience, it's close to Israel and everything, you know what I mean?
I think they want to collapse Syria first and then Iran.
Possibly. But no matter what, war is a big business, as you know. It always has
been. Of course.
And it always will be.
Well, it doesn't have to be that way. That's why we have a constitution. By the way, was your friend Renee going to call in?
Maybe another. He may call anytime. Actually.
Okay. Were you able to give him the number? Because I can give you the number now if you wanted to text. If you wanted to text it to him, I can give you the number. Would that work?
He'll probably call any time now.
Okay, because the number is 888-62. Oh, you've got it.
Yeah, I got
it. Okay. Oh, okay. So they'll let me know if he calls in, because I'd like to get him in on the conversation too. So this thing with Iran, you know, Iran has good friends in Russia and China.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't like the I just saw a note from the producer here. And Russia and China don't like this meddling that's going on with Iran by the U.S. threatening Iran. So I hope that they stand with their ally, Iran. And by the way, John, you know, the media says our enemies. Well, you know what, John? Iran is not my enemy. Iraq was not my enemy. Afghanistan is not my enemy. Syria is not my enemy. North Korea is not my enemy. You know, who are they to say these are our enemies? The governments have created these enemies and boogeymans.
Of course, to profit just a few. You know, that's how it is. As I said, war is necessary. Same like crime. Crime is necessary. Can you imagine this country without crime?
Well, I'm not saying it's necessary.
Well, think of all those lawyers and the whole entire law system. If there was no crime, if people will just behave well, all those other people will be out of jobs and everything. So we need crime. Same like we need war. We need war because it's a, you know, huge machine, and that's why we have to create all those fictitious enemies and everything. You know, that's how it goes.
And speaking of lawyers, we have lawyer Obama running against possibly lawyer Romney. Rick Santorum is a lawyer. You know, we got a bunch of lawyers running things, and I wish they weren't. I'd rather have politicians who weren't lawyers, because they just sit back and make more laws and regulations that suit themselves and provide them with more work, which strangles the economy in the long run.
Yep, but nobody seems to understand now how up till this point, because as I said, it starts to change because of the internet, because of the communication and the information exchange. People become more and more aware of things. Like the average folk that's before didn't even know, you know, what was going on at all. So now people are kind of starting to see things. But you know, it all starts with the people's pockets. If the pockets are filled, if the stomachs are full, nobody's really, you know, asking any questions or anything. But if the government gets too far with what they do and everything, they will finally backfire for themselves, you know. Hopefully we'll have some sane person steering this country towards the direction it should go, you know, for everybody.
That would be Ron Paul.
Yeah, I would. I like Ron Paul's views a lot. You know, first of all, his approach to the foreign politics, because he clearly says that exactly what you said. Creating all those enemies, making countries out of the blue to be enemy of the United States for no reason, you know. And those people in those countries, they are kind of surprised. Oh, we are American enemies. How come? You know. Well, you know, we just created made it up, and you know, it worked. If it works, that's fine.
Well, the people are waking up. People are waking up to this, and thank goodness for the internet. Thank goodness for alternative media. However, as you know, government wants to be able to shut that down too for our own good.
Oh yes, they are working already on some regulations regarding the internet, usage of the internet, so they can control the information. Just like the communists, when I was growing up, they controlled basically everything. The whole entire information was completely controlled, censored, and everything.
Would you say that your friends and say family from Eastern Europe, are they hip to what you know? Are they sort of are you on the same page with them? Do they have similar feelings like you do about the U.S. and the wars and whatnot?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's kind of widespread opinion around the world. Everybody kind of knows it. But, you know, their governments do the same thing. They are basically have to follow the same things with NATO and all these military organizations created during and right after World War II that function to this day. You have to remember that American troops are still stationing in Germany.
I know, and Japan, South Korea.
That's no enemy. That's like, you know, it's a complete waste. That's what Ron Paul is talking about as well.
And Britain. And they're in Britain and Italy, too, troops, you know. I would bring them all home and let the countries like, say, Poland, Italy, Britain, let them staff those former bases with their own troops.
Yeah.
There are allies. Now, this thing with Iran, I say there's absolutely no reason to attack Iran. Israel wants us to do this, or they want to do it, or they want to use the bunker buster bombs that we gave them so they can do it. And that's all we need, another war to drag the economy further down. But politicians like to start wars to direct people away from their tragic economic policies.
Well, yeah, but again, those people are just playing sick games for themselves. You know,
at our expense.
Everybody, you know, but that's how it is. So that's why I think it will need like a strong uprising or revolution or something to really, really change things for better for everybody.
That's true. So it should come no surprise to you that PK here is willing to lead that intellectual revolution.
Well, yeah, but that starts with everybody, you know, average people being aware. Right? And as I said, well, thanks to the independent information and rise of the internet and all this media that is finally available for everybody, you know, kind of people are starting to read different opinions about things, you know, not watching TV, not listening to the mainstream radio. It's all opinionated, it's all censored and all prepared, you know, kind of directed, almost rehearsed, I would say.
Oh, yes, you know, it's awful, and it's all staged, and all for example, all of Ron Paul's opponents, they serve the same people, Bush and Obama, as I mentioned earlier, the big banks, Wall Street, military-industrial complex, and the Israeli lobby. Supposedly, you can't get elected unless the Israeli lobby or the Jewish Zionist power group agrees that you're okay as a candidate.
Well, but Ron Paul got second in New Hampshire, you know, just yesterday. So
that is true.
So we'll see. We'll see. And I don't know if they already seen some ballots there or anything, you know. And to what degree they can shift voting, or you know, like the results. You know what I'm talking about.
Right, but the scary thing is, I don't know if it was Stalin said it. It's not who gets the, it's not the vote that counts. It's who counts the votes.
Yeah.
But I think they were honest. I think they were honest in New Hampshire. He came in a strong second.
Yeah, he came in a strong second. Yes.
Which obviously that is a good thing. So
very good.
Would it be nice?
Yeah,
wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if he came in first in South Carolina?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what the mainstream press is going to make us to believe. But right now, as I said, they have a huge opponent in the form of independent press, independent radio stations, and stations like yours and everything. And so people are getting information from different sources, not only from mainstream, but via internet, via emails and stuff. So the news, they spread. And, you know, no matter what those folks are doing, the mainstream, they cannot ignore that kind of power because, you know, 1,400 families, roughly, versus 300 million people in the country. That's kind of, scary ratio for them.
Well, that's true, but those 1,400 families, they're behind the power structure that manipulates the media, which people believe. And well, when I debate people online or on Facebook, you know, they think that I'm a kook. They can't even comprehend the power of the CIA and how it's entangled in world affairs.
Well, those people own about 98% of this whole entire world wealth. You know, they can say, okay, from this point on, gold costs this and this much. So if they want to, okay, gold is not becoming a, you know, so basically what has any kind of value, as I said at the beginning, is energy. Energy, the commodities, they basically become things that have any kind of tangible value in this world. Everything else can be worth something this day, gone next day, as you know.
Well, yeah, but that's why, you know, my faith in free market economics yeah. helps to solve shortages and whatnot. And most people have never read an economics book, let alone a free market economics book. And that's maybe largely because economics has been perverted by, in a sense, mathematic models. Because economics, as we Austrian school economists believe, is that it's the logic of action, human action. Economics, it involves breathing human thinking beings. They're not just items on a shelf that have no, you know, thought process or act. So economics is a very important aspect of our lives. And what I learned in school, high school and college economics was Keynesian. It was dull. It was boring. Then I discovered the Austrian school of economics, which had its origins in, of course, Austria in Europe. And by the way, I'm an American who knows that kangaroos do not come from Austria. They come from Australia. Little sidebar there for you. But anyway, thank you.
Australia, somewhere in Illinois.
What about Illinois?
No, I'm just playing right now.
Sorry. Yeah. No, I actually know that. And I actually could find Austria or England or Norway on a map.
You can. Wow. I'm impressed. Well,
Thank you.
Of course you can.
So let's get back to Iran and all the saber rattling. You know, Iran has 25,000 Iranian Jews living there, and they are not threatened, and they are not trying to get the hell out of the country. But the neocons and the Zionist news media, that's not something they like to talk about. I also saw an advert. I've seen it before, but I just had it forwarded to me. Well, I saw it on Facebook of friends today. It showed, I think I mentioned it earlier. I think it's 1974. It's an ad, and it's about nuclear power for Iran, and the Shah is in the photo, and Iran was wanting to build two nuclear plants, and it was a very pro-nuclear ad for Iran.
Mm-hmm.
How things change.
Well, nothing really much changed. Remember that all these countries, they are just running their own life, their own everyday life, and, you know, all of a sudden, bam, you've got, like, you know, war or something.
Well, yeah, that's true. And also, I was going to mention to you. Oh, this thing about Iran and its missiles. You know, Iran is not interested in hitting Europe with missiles. I don't believe that at all. They want self-defense. And if you have a nuke, then Uncle Sam doesn't bother you as much or interfere. And Iran wouldn't use nukes. They know they'd be whacked in a heartbeat by Israel and or the U.S. But they're not interested in shooting at missiles into Europe. That's just such foolish war propaganda and BS, you know, and the sheep will buy into a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a question I've come up with lately, and it's, you know, they don't like this question, but to Ron Paul's, those people who don't like Ron Paul or like him except for his foreign policy or say he's dangerous and this and that, here's the question I've devised, and feel free to use it. You say to people, okay, well, for those of you who dislike Ron Paul or hate Ron Paul, what do you have to say? What is your answer to the growing number of veterans and active duty military who enthusiastically support Ron Paul? Are they unpatriotic? Are they kooks? What is your message to those people? And they don't like that question.
The kind of thing that you just said, if you ask those hardcore people, why do they hate Ron Paul or something, for example, they don't know why. Honestly, they have absolutely no clue about what he says. It's because it's popular to say, oh, I hate Ron Paul. They just repeat like sheep after
well,
the shepherd. But, you know,
yes, but usually they don't like him because of his foreign policy.
Yeah, because people don't understand the foreign policy. They have no clue what this is about. So.
That's true, but that is why I devised the question. So those, you know, and this question I like because it annoys the real pro-war crowd, even the working class people who end up dying in these wars and serving in the military, while the rich, you know, in the war profiteers, you know, they get fat on all this. So what do you see looking ahead, John? What do you think 2012 is going to be like? And maybe next year, do you see the economy going anywhere? Or what do you see on the horizon, in your opinion?
You know, honestly, I think they will keep the prices, they will control, as long as they possibly can, as long as it would be doable. And after it's not really doable, they just, you know, let things go, like just like it was on the Titanic. At some point, the captain said, now every man on its own, that kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because to me, most elections, except with Ron Paul, are like shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah, basically, yes. That's what it is. So no matter who sits there, if it's going to be Mr. Bush or Mr. Obama or Mr. X, coming from the same group of politicians, just, you know, wearing different labels and everything, it's going to be absolutely the same no matter what, and, you know, nothing really, really changes tangibly.
I don't know about
you. You know, has completely different view. Like Ron Paul, who is a threat to the establishment. Clearly, he's a threat to the establishment because the establishment hates that kind of
thing.
They
fear him.
You know?
They fear him because he does not he doesn't represent the corporate state. And again, I'm very pro-free enterprise and pro-capitalism, but I'm very anti-crony capitalism and corporate welfare and tax-funded bailouts.
Because that's what we have. We have that's what you just said.
But it's so blatant nowadays. It's even more blatant, and it's growing, and, there, you know, people bitch about it, but nothing gets resolved about it.
To the moment that people won't be able to withstand that anymore. And then, you know, that's what I say, that things only can change like by some kind of dramatic changes and everything. Look at the communism countries, for example. The whole entire reason that the Soviet Union got allowed even to that to happen was economically they were just they just ran out of money. They couldn't support that status quo anymore. That's why all the countries became independent, gained freedom, and you know stuff like that. So the Soviet domination just ended with. It's funny to say it all started with the Russian war in Afghanistan.
That's the funny part about it. Now the U.S. is bogged down there, and you know, in the place known as the graveyard of empires.
Well, yes, but we trained those people first, back in the 70s and the 80s, to fight with the Soviets.
Gave them millions and billions in aid.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so, you know, that's the blowback that Ron Paul talks about. And the CIA,
yeah.
You know, they're the ones that they give money and they prop up dictators and they assassinate people. And Obama's just signed that dreadful legislation about, you know, indefinite detention and, you know, all this kind of stuff. This is something you expect Bush to sign. But Obama, Mr. You know, Transparency, he's awful with civil liberties. The American Civil Liberties Union rates Ron Paul higher than Obama.
Well, yeah.
It's interesting to see, because they talk about Obama or our first black president. Well, I don't talk about the race thing. The race thing to me has nothing to do with it. His policies are awful. And it's interesting to see on YouTube some very good videos from black American supporters of Ron Paul who have really seen the light, and what they have to say is great. If you get a chance to surf any of that stuff, just put in black Ron Paul supporters and you'll be interested. It's interesting to see what they have to say. They're, you know, when I see a black guy talking like that, I know right away, man, he gets it. He sees what's going on, and there's a lot of black folks, I'm sure, that are hip to the New World Order and the Illuminati, and they see this happening.
Obama, a lot of people voted and he didn't fix anything, really. Actually made the things even worse.
Exactly.
In a lot of instances. Right now, of course, pulled the troops out of Iraq. It was about time that they had to kind of recuperate and, you know, prepare new war theater in Iran. So it's
Yes, but I don't know if you heard this. Governor Rick Perry, candidate for Republican, he wants to send the troops back, wants to put some troops back in Iraq.
Well, yeah.
He's a cowboy. Did you hear that? Yeah, we Americans, we'll go there. We'll kick butt. We'll bankrupt our country. But, you know, that's why I never got into this bandwagon about, you know, the greatest country in the world. You know, I just hate all that talk. I'm thankful to live here and proud, and, you know, but I don't like to put it in people's face. And as bad as things are now, they should shut up, because we need to fix our own nest first before we try to push other people around and supposedly be the world's policeman, which was never the intention.
That's how it's a kind of, you know, attitude of the hardcore Republicans, I would say, that kind of to be proud to be the policeman of the world, even though they've never traveled the world, they've never been abroad or anything. You know,
it's sad.
I see all the time, and I'm like sometimes scratching my head. I'm like, okay, what are you talking? Do you even know what you are emotionally supporting?
That's true, and you coming from Europe, it must be even more funny and ironic and hypocritical for you to hear this stuff. And you know, you're shaking your head, or you're thinking to yourself, "Man, these Yanks, they just don't get it." You know, they must grow up thinking that America's the world's policeman, and American greatness is supposed to convert the world to our way of thinking.
Yeah, but as I said, it changes. It changes
That's
with the young generation.
Thank goodness.
It changes with the young generation already. You know, you talk to young people, even they are in conflict with their parents a lot. You know, their parents support that kind of police of the world view, and the kings, they clearly not. So, you know, it will change, but I would say it will take one more, maybe two more generations of Americans to really, you know, grow up and see how wrong we were all along. You know, with everything.
Maybe even sooner.
you know, supported things that we shouldn't have supported ever. You know, that's one of the things. And, you know, thanks to people like Dr. Paul, who openly says about things like that. You know, can you imagine if he became the president, he, you know, in the, his speeches and everything to the nation, maybe he would have the courage to tell people, you know, about what's really going on with all this policing the world type of thing. You know, I hope so.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I hope it comes in a sooner generation than two generations, because a lot of these young people you speak about, they're living back home with their parents because there's no jobs for them, especially if they've graduated and they owe thousands, multi-thousands of dollars in student loans.
Yeah, they kind of listen to, you know, their parents bitching about, you know, oh, we should go back to Iraq and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Something. You know what I mean? People that kind of thinking, so they don't really understand.
Well, and the sad thing is that with this tragic economy, a lot of younger people in finding work, guess where they end up? In the military.
Well, yes.
You know, and also, there's a lot of gangs in the military, as I understand it.
Yeah, I have friends in the military. But, you know, once they go to the overseas wars and everything, once they see what they are fighting for, they are coming, and they always say the same thing. I have probably 15, 20 friends in myself in military, or, you know, their spouses are in the military, in the active military. Some of my closest friends actually are in that kind of situation. So they are coming back and say exactly the same thing. What we are fighting for, it doesn't really make any sense, you know, and they are starting to see the big picture. That's why Ron Paul has so many war veterans supporting him, because
definitely
they understand after serving overseas and everything that this is not really, you know, what is the reason we are even there? Is that those people hate us or something? No, they hate us because we are messing up their internal things. How would you feel if somebody, you know, invaded for, I don't know, for what? You'd be the same way.
Had bases in our country. We wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
But that's where that American exceptionalism and that American ego gets in the way and, you know, thinks, oh, well, if it's Americans, that's all right. You know, we spread freedom and democracy and liberty. But when you look behind that, you see a lot of the federal government spread a lot of murder and oppression and you know, policing the world. Starting with, this really got started before World War One. It became when awful progressive Teddy Roosevelt, terrible president, was pushing McKinley into war with Spain, which was not we had no beef with Spain. So when the Maine blew up in, you know, Havana Harbor, which they blamed on, you know, Spain, which was actually a fault of the ship's, you know, its own defect, that launched a war, the Spanish-American War, which led to the occupation of the Philippines and probably the deaths of at least 200,000 Filipinos because of American foreign policy, the federal government. And then what really brought us down is being in World War One. That was not only useless war for Europe, but very tragic for America.
Yes, it was. But you have to remember that back then there was no communication like these days. And this is the real scare. That's what those people are really scared of the most, I would say, the information age. Because they can no longer keep things hushed, you know, hushed down so nobody knows about things, because people are starting to see the big picture, you know. So that's probably the most wonderful message out of all for this planet.
Well, I hope you're right about that, John, because, you know, there's attempts at shutting down the internet or you know, being able to close it down temporarily or in because of emergencies or whatnot. In fact, I know for a fact that our troops in Iraq who are supposedly fighting for our rights, which especially includes free speech and a free press, there's a lot that is censored, that they cannot look at certain websites over there. And I'm not talking about porn. I'm talking about information or opposition.
Yes, I know. I know. That's what I say. It's kind of, you know,
it's frustrating, isn't it?
It is frustrating to some point. Of course it is, you know.
But that's why we must keep up the struggle. We must keep up the struggle against statism and the New World Order.
Yeah, if we don't, then who will? And, you know, exactly. And if we say we, it means, you know, thousands and thousands, perhaps millions of people. You know, and you can't deny that. You know, we'll see that next elections would be very interesting.
You're right, John. Speaking of interesting, Renee is out there. Renee, are you with us? Can he hear us? I don't hear his voice. Is Renee there? Talk to me, brother.
Hello.
Renee, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Welcome back to Third Stream View with your host, PK, here.
Mr. PK, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Welcome back. I have our other friend, John, on here, our friend from Europe, and we're talking about global events and global politics, and was hoping that you could join us for a little bit. You were here a couple weeks ago. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I'm running. I'm actually in the car, running to an appointment.
Well, I'm glad that you could join us a little bit. I don't know if you got to hear any of the discussion. We're talking about war with Iran and geopolitics.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm listening to. Yes.
So you hear my friend John from Europe, his point of view on stuff. Did you want to add something there, Renee?
He's talking about, you know, how these elections are going to be, like, really, really important for this, this coming election here in the United States. Because the situation now is really, nobody knows what's going to happen, you know.
That's right. Did either of you fellows happen to see that CNN clip last week where there was an active duty military guy in fatigues, young fellow, who's going back to Iraq to serve another term, and he was on at a Ron Paul rally. And did you notice what happened
when he said
Israel can defend itself, and right immediately they had connection trouble.
They cut him off. That's unbelievable.
John, I don't know if you saw that, but Renee knows about it. And, yeah, that's what I thought at the minute. Man, that proves my point even more, the Zionist power in the media.
Yeah, they are all controlled.
They are showing you how much power they have. Yes.
But you don't hear it. I mean, on my show, I discuss it. And, you know, and I don't discuss it from a standpoint of hatred. I always discuss it from I will always expose it. Mine is always an expose on power, no matter who wields it or who yields it.
It doesn't matter from where it comes from, yes.
Let me show you a parallel to that. The poor Palestinian people, they would be just as pissed off if it was Peruvians or Chinese or Martians that kicked them off their land.
It doesn't matter, yes.
So they would be, you know, if it was Martians, they'd be anti-Martian. You know, it happens to be Zionists that and the, you know, Jews that their battle is with.
Right.
But I stand with the anti-Zionist Jews.
Well, my view is that this is our last chance. If people don't wake up and start and vote for Ron Paul, that's it. We're gone. And
I agree with
really
you.
It's really important that, you know, we have to wake people up, because, I mean, I don't think this is our last chance.
Because I agree.
They're making their move, and they're making their move fast.
Exactly. Faster than I would ever have thought. Even with the internet, the globalists are moving. They're pushing for war. They're pushing for this. They're pushing for that.
Yeah, they're making the move, so people have to get involved.
And that's why the internet is so precious. John and I were discussing about how, you know, how China can censor it, and the U.S. is trying, the federal government here is trying to do that. We don't want them tinkering with the internet. They'll use excuses as emergencies or terrorism and all this, but they want to control that too.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for a long time, so they're moving to do it now.
Well, I hope that genie is out of the bottle, and with Ron Paul's ideas and what he's brought, they can say what they want, they can ignore him, they can marginalize him, but his message is here to stay, I believe, and it's going to continue to grow.
It's growing, no doubt, no doubt, yes.
He brings people together.
Especially the young generation will, you know, and also people of our generation too. They start to see this thing. As you said, Ron Paul has huge support among the people, the war veterans, the troops veterans, the military personnel. Why? Because those people experience that themselves, going abroad and fighting in those countries for what? And they were starting to, you know, really question that among themselves. And all the conversation led to the point that there is no clear reason. And then when they hear Ron Paul talking about that, that completely 100% supports what they feel themselves, that's where it starts to change. It's always personal.
Well, speaking of personal, the personal smears against Ron Paul continue that, you know, racism, or he's anti-Semitic. Imagine that, as an American taxpayer, if I don't want my taxes going to Israel, or I want Israel's foreign aid cut off, I'm anti-Semitic. Where did that come from? You know, I want all foreign aid cut off, so that if John or Renee want to help somebody in a foreign country, they're free to make the donation of their choice based on their own values, but they can't compel everybody else to give foreign aid. And what does foreign aid do? It props up dictatorships and inefficient state-controlled industries.
Yes, exactly.
So do you guys both see how I am the logical successor to Ron Paul?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's good. It's fun talking with you guys, but you know what? I haven't got to clash with anybody yet on this show. Everybody who I usually speak to, you know the term preaching to the choir, and I appreciate this, but where I do clash with people is on the internet or Facebook, and whenever someone calls you a name, or for example, one woman told me my elevator doesn't go all the way to the top, that's because when they're desperate like that, they don't have the information. They don't have the knowledge to continue the debate on intellectual terms, so they start calling names.
Now people start calling names and say, oh, that guy is crazy, but how is crazy? Who can do a better job than Ron Paul? Tell me. They can't say anything because they just regurgitating what they hear on the news and on TV.
You're right, Renee. They expect the same. They believe here's the stupidity of it, the sheer stupidity of it, Renee. They believe that this, in a nutshell, you know, long story short, what they actually believe is the same people who made this mess are going to get us out of it. They're going to vote for some of these other idiots who were in it to get us out of it.
It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Like I said earlier to John, the elections are. The elections are like shifting the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yes. Keep up the good work, Mr. John. We'll call later. I'm losing the line. I have to go.
Okay, thanks, Renee. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, John, our friend Renee is another example of somebody who gets it. And he came later to the table on this. I think he came in 2007. He saw it, you know. So once you hear the message and you figure it out that the message is essentially one of liberty, property, and peace, you think, wow, this guy makes perfect sense. There's this young black guy on the internet I've seen, a Ron Paul supporter. He goes, This dude make perfect sense. I know he an older white guy, but everything he say make perfect sense. And that's the essence of it. He gets it.
I hope that more and more people will get it. So, you know, next. Because, you know, I tell you, 4 years, that's a long time historically for the country like the United States of America. In 4 years, you can build a lot. You can fix the bridges. You can fix the highways. You can create millions and millions of new jobs and everything if you give the complete freedom to the enterprise, to the creativity of people, you know, and you stop wasting money overseas, sending it to support foreign regimes that, you know, oppress their people and everything. It just, somebody has to start it on the highest level in the White House or something, you know. Otherwise, it's going to be the status quo, the establishment, as we call it, going forever and ever.
Exactly. And I was debating this guy. I was debating this guy last week on Facebook, and he was telling me, I forgot what I was going to say. It was something you just said. I'm sorry. I lost my thought there. But it was about the wars and whatnot. And he seemed to think the Constitution does give us authority to have a global empire. And, you know, and he's clueless about it. And then, of course, the name-calling starts. But I don't go back with the name-calling. I insult them in my own little way. Because the thing about me is that I can be cocky and sarcastic. I don't want to turn people away from the message. But when I'm hearing it from them, I can give it back to them. And what frustrated him, and I told him this, is unlike talk radio, you can't shut me up.
Well, it's, you know, I call it educating.
Well, I do too, generally. When they attack like they do, you know, I'm ready for it.
You know, if you don't educate people, who will? You know, that's the thing. So that's what it is. It's as I said at the beginning of our conversation, everything starts with the information.
Yes,
World War I, World War II had materialized and everything because the exchange of counter views, counter information to the mainstream was next to none back then. So people, they just followed whatever they were told. Same thing happened, you know, in the last 35, 40 years until recently, until about 10, maybe 12 years ago with the advent of internet information, websites, free websites, independent views, and kind of people started to see things that they couldn't see before, you know.
That's true.
That's how the Arab, the whole entire of all those uprisings in all those countries, you know, I don't know what the results will be in the long run, like in Egypt, Libya, and everything. But you have to remember that all of it was even possible because of the communication, because of the information in between people, regardless of the mainstream media.
And by the way, I thought my thought came back to me. That guy I was debating, he says, "Can I have any kind of discussion or debate without using the word status quo or neocon, or you know?" And so I laughed at him and said, "Yeah, you want to censor or prohibit the important words I need to describe this crowd, you know?" So he wanted me to actually not use those words, and I laughed in his face. You know, I said, "What kind of crap is that?" So. You know, I agree with where you're coming from, and you have a sort of a unique insight because you were born outside of this country. You saw it from afar, and now you live here. So, you know, you have all that too, and you must shake your head a lot, or at least internally you're shaking your head a lot when you hear and see the things you do said by Americans, many of which are so naive and clueless about the world.
Yeah. But as I said, it's starting to change.
Thank goodness.
More and more people actually traveled, and what is the most important, a lot of our military people that are serving in the forces actually got the message when they were abroad doing things that we are asked to do in the countries that clearly didn't initiate any conflict with us.
That's true. Well, that's why I like the saying. You've probably heard the saying, war is God's way of teaching Americans geography.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
Well, it's sad, but, you know, it has the purpose. I always say the same thing about music. Music is, that's why they are trying to eliminate that from schools, from education, because music and art, they, how to say that?
Well, unfortunately, they don't pay the bills too well.
They build and they develop in individuals' independent way of thinking, creative way of thinking. And that's very dangerous to the establishment. That's why they are trying to eliminate arts from schools, because they don't want people to develop that kind of thing, independent thinking, creative thinking. You know?
Well, they need sheeple.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll say it's kind of late now, because people are starting to gain momentum, and I hope that this election, next election, is going to be where it's supposed to be. Thank you, PK. I have to leave right now.
Okay, well, I want to thank you for coming on, John. It was great talking with you. I'm going to close out now and end the show. Thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it. This is your host, PK, and I'm here at BBS Radio Station 2 every Monday evening, 8:55 Pacific, 10:55 Central, and 11:55 Eastern. So until next week, I'm saying goodnight, everybody, and please tune in again to Third Stream View. I'm your host, PK. Good night, everyone.